It is in the bulletin, Matthew 28, first 8 verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the scepter. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before them into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the scepter with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples news. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great love that you show toward us in Christ. Thank you for his willingness to die for a debt he did not owe. That the debt we owed because of our sinfulness could be paid in full. Thank you for that. Thank you that we have a living Savior. And we don't have to talk about a dead Savior. We talk about a living Savior. Thank you for that. And give us strength now in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in 1971, Bill Gaither wrote a song. And that song became very popular very quick and found its way into Baptist hymnals and Christian church hymnals and just hymnals in general across the United States and around the world. And the song that he wrote is "Because He Lives." I want to read first verse to you. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Verse 2. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Verse 3. And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Chorus says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. A life is worth living just because he lives. As I battled what to say, and I kept saying, Lord, you got to give me something. You got to give me something. And I had two or three sermons on paper. I mean, they'd have been okay, but they weren't it for me. This may not be it for you, but that's all right. And I woke up in the morning And the song said, because he lives. Because he lives. That's what it's all about. It's not about an empty tomb. You can have an empty tomb and not have a risen Savior. I mean, they could have bribed the soldiers and stolen the body. We know the soldiers were bribable. If you got enough money, most of the time you can get anybody to do anything. But that's not what happened. The angel didn't roll the stone back to let Christ out. They rolled the stone back to let people in. To see that he actually had risen. And then he made appearances to people, to the disciples, to the ladies, to over 500. We serve a risen Savior. Now I know it's been over 2,000 years, and we don't have the same issue that they had. They had put all their hope, all their eggs, so to speak, in the basket of Jesus Christ. And there he died on a Roman cross. Terrible death. You don't ever want to see anybody die on a Roman cross. You don't want to see anybody scourged like he was scourged. You don't want to see anybody beaten like he was beaten. Isaiah said he was beaten so bad we couldn't even tell he's human. And then on the third day, just like he said, he arose. He wasn't there. He was gone. Death couldn't hold him. Grave couldn't hold him. Satan couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't hold him. He defeated it all on Calvary. When he cried, "It is finished," the Lamb of God had given himself for the sacrifice for sin. He was buried and he rose again, and we have a living Savior. So I want to talk to you for just, Lord have mercy, a few minutes. See, I'm used to preaching 45, whether they like it or not. I won't do that this morning. Because he lives, I can face today. Because he lives, I can face today. I mean, today brings trials and temptations. The older I get, the more I hate Satan. Ain't nothing I can do about it, but I hate it. He's so tricky and backdoory. He cheats. He don't play fair. But he never did. That's what we'd expect from him. I mean, if you want to buy a used car from him or trade a horse with him, don't do it. He'll cheat you. You know what? I can face death today. I can face my death. I can face my spouse's death. I've done that, and some of you have here. I can face the death of a child. Haven't done that, don't want to. Some may have, but you can face it. You can face the death of a parent. You can face the death of a friend. Because you have a living Savior. You know death's not the final word. It's not the final power. I can face bad news. Not every time the phone rings is it good news. Can't do it. I remember early afternoon, my phone ringing. And I picked it up. and it was Chris's infectious disease doctor. And I said, this is not good news. Because he never called before 6 o'clock in the evening. And it wasn't good news. I was sitting in the doctor's office, waiting my turn to see the doctor. I'm sitting on one side of the room. There's a space aisle between us. And on the other side sat a husband and wife. The phone rings. She reaches down in her purse, picks it up. It's family. She listens and talks, and she starts crying. I mean, wailing. Her brother's just had a heart attack and died. That was not good news for her in that situation. We get those phone calls. I mean, this is tax season. You take your taxes to the preparer. They call you to tell you, I got them finished. What do I owe? Well, that ain't good news. You need to go back and put a sharper pencil on things. Not good news. We get those. We can face that. Sometimes we got tough decisions to make. I mean tough. Got to decide, do I do this or do I do that? Do I say this or not say it or say something else? What do I do? It's going to affect people. Some are going to be happy. Some are going to be upset. But what do I do? I got a living Savior. Call upon Him. Knock on His door. I'm telling you, you never get a busy signal from that gentleman. Because He's a living Savior. And you see, Him being God can look at you and you and you and you all at the same time. And He'll give you His undivided attention when you call on Him. And He knows what the future holds for you. He knows what your life's going to experience. He knows. And He'll give you the best advice He can give you. And He'll lead you in the right direction somehow. You can face today because He lives. You know what? I can face tomorrow because He lives. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, what are you worrying about tomorrow for? I mean, why are you fretting over tomorrow? What you going to wear? What you going to eat? Where are you going to stay? What you going to do? Why are you fretting about stuff like that? He said, Gentiles fret about things like that. Lost people, that's what He's saying. Barbarians, unsaved, unredeemed, fret over that stuff. Now, you're not supposed to sit on the pew and twiddle your thumbs. You get out and work and you do things, but you don't fret over it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're not seeking God's righteousness and God's kingdom and God's way in your life first. He said, it ain't right. Sometimes we don't trust Him with our tomorrows. But we should, because He lives. He knows all about the tomorrows. He knows all about your trials and tribulations that are coming tomorrow. He knows about the good news and bad news coming tomorrow. He knows. about your tomorrows. And because he knows, and because he is your living Savior, you can trust him with your tomorrows. Well, that's good. I get up in the morning and I think, well, you know, I got things I got to do. I never had to think a lot about this, but in the last few months and years, I had to. I got to do laundry. Oh, gosh. Lord, I wonder if they'd get upset if I wore the same clothes till they wore out. Now, you laughing. I know an old bachelor that did that. Good man. But he wore the same pair of overalls. I don't know about anything else, but I know he wore the same pair of overalls until they wore out. People would buy him brand new overalls, and when he died, they were in a chair in his house, and they had rotted because they laid there, and bugs got into them and ate them up. And he'd get in the car and ride with you. He never owned a car, walked everywhere he went. He'd ride with you, talk to you. He'd come to church, sit in the back there. Very faithful church member. And he had to walk to church. And it wasn't across the street. You and I get so tied up about stuff that we forget who the King is and who the Lord is. So we need to trust him with our tomorrows. But you know what? Because he lives, I can trust him with my eternity. You and I are going to live one place or another for eternity. We're going to live in heaven with Jesus or in hell under the wrath and judgment of God. One of those two places. But because we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he is our Lord and Savior, because he is our King of Kings, and because he lives, he got the future of eternity in his hand. When his disciples were all shook up, and they were, oh man, worried about what was getting ready to happen to Jesus, and they didn't like the way he's talking about dying and all that stuff, and he had to come to them and say something. And this passage is read at funerals. About everyone I go to, it's read. Listen to me. It is our hope today, because he lives, we can trust him with our eternity. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Did you get that? I mean, he's risen Savior. He's living for eternity as a risen Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said, there's a day coming when I'm going to come back and get you. And you will spend eternity with me. I remember one time hearing an African-American preacher talk about the great getting up morning. Folks, that's coming. dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall meet the Lord in the air. And folks, it'll happen so fast, it's a twinkle of an eye. You don't have time to think. Takes me longer than that, twinkle, to think. Poof, I'm out of here. And all the things that you and I worry about today and tomorrow is somebody else's problem, not ours. We spend a lot of time trying to think about and collect and do and acquire things. I know, I just acquired a new toy, so it's me too in this, see. Which, do that. But I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, it all stays here. I don't take any of it with me. Because he lives, I can face today. Because he lives, I can face my tomorrow. But most of all, because he lives, I can face my eternity and trust him with that eternity. Let me read that chorus one more time. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. You know, we ought to be the happiest, giddiest people you ever saw in your life because he's got everything in the palm of his hand. Nothing is out of control for the Lord. Nothing. Because he lives. We serve a risen Savior. And we celebrate that during this time of year. We celebrate it. I know people want to argue about what day he rose on. I wasn't there. Nobody was there. Doesn't mean you can't celebrate it. I mean, I wasn't there at my birth. I wasn't. I went through the military, went through everything, been everywhere around the world. Do you know that after 9/11, they rejected my birth certificate? I said, what? Look at me. I'm old. Does it look like I'm not alive? Well, that didn't go over good. Didn't go over good with me that they rejected it. Here's why. I was born on one day, but the doctor didn't fill out the birth certificate until the following day. And so they thought I had a phony birth certificate. I said, well, you know, the doctor's dead, and my mom's dead, and everybody that was there is dead. So what are we going to do? I don't know. I said, I think I do. I'm going to call somebody I know. And I did. And they called me back and said, it's okay. Come back and get everything and the paperwork you need. You know why? I serve a risen Savior. Because he lives, he'd take care of my tomorrow. And he takes care of our future.